Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
All right, we've got an eye on Ohio State, Texas, but it's time for our weekly visit with former Ducks and Lions quarterback Joey Harrington, who is a man of the people, cooking steaks with a rosemary anchovy butter. Seems very fancy, I'm told.
Dun 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 dun
dun
dun dun
dun dun
dun dun
dun dun dun.
How's the, tell me about the anchovy butter. I don't know if I can get behind the rosemary anchovy butter.
I'm just doing it in olive oil. I just like baste the steak in it.
Well, yeah, but
why can't you get behind it?
Because it's got anchovies in it.
Do you like Caesar salad?
Not with anchovies.
Well, then you don't like Caesar salad. So then you're dumb.
I get Caesar salads without anchovies all the time.
The
dressing is
an anchovy.
Based in anchovy.
Yeah, but I don't really taste it.
Well, exactly. That's the point. Right. No, this isn't fishy. This is literally like you melt it down into like an oil. Yeah, you're in. It's just like a Caesar salad and you put some, rosemary
can't
on it.
Or doing some
pesto beans, and there you go. You're going to try it. I thought that was just for Suk and me when he comes over by himself next time.
I'll be over there in an hour and a half.
Ooh, sweet.
Now, did you make the anchovy butter from scratch with like a full deal, or was this like a purchased anchovy butter?
Well, so, here's what you do is like you have like a can of anchovies, mm-hmm. and then you have rosemary, and then you have like olive oil, and then you like cut them up, and then you put it in the olive oil.
I'm out again.
Yeah, I think I'd probably just buy some anchovy butter.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's you guys. Seriously, like, come on.
I'm sorry.
Just put a little bit of work in. Make you should know. Well, Rob, you don't know about hard work, but Suk, you should know about hard work. Like, you put the work in, you get the result out on the backside. Just take an extra 5 minutes. Take 30 seconds and cut up some rosemary. Like, just drop an anchovy and some olive oil, and then it just like melts. Like,
I just feel like any anchovy butter that makes it to the market, I feel like is going to be better than the anchovy butter that I am going to make. I do not have faith in myself anchovy butter.
Wrong. That's
fake news.
That's just dumb. People think that they can't do it. Nabisco or I'm trying to think of a butter company. Lando Lakes makes it better than I do. No, they don't. They just put a bunch of crap in there and then it tastes good. So just like make it real. Take like 90 seconds and just cut it up and just put it in some olive oil.
Pretty sure that if I told my gal that I was making anchovy butter, she would just look at me and be like, get out of the way.
Rosemary anchovy butter.
Rosemary anchovy butter.
What about anchovy bourbon? Bourbon.
That'd be gross. That's just dumb.
Kind of how I feel about your butter.
That is just dumb.
That's just dumb.
All right. Listen, quarterback guy, I got to ask you, with your quarterback eyes, when you watch football games, what on earth does your quarterback eye see last night when watching Drew Aller. What's going on with that guy?
I knew you were coming for this, okay? So, I will say that I was surprised when they played Oregon. After he threw the pick and we went up 28-10, I thought he was done. Yeah, I thought it was like going to be a 72-13 kind of thing. Credit him for playing. Like, he played amazing, got him back in the game. They ended up losing, obviously, but he did great. He's getting a lot of grief for the pick at the end of the game. And he played bad, played terrible. However, I've watched that thing like 17 different times, 117 different times. And when you watch it from the sideline or when you watch it from the tight TV version, it's like, what the hell is he doing? Okay, I would challenge you to find a all 22 where it actually shows how the play developed. And was it a bad play at the wrong time, like a unfortunate thing? Yeah, of course it was. Okay, but you ready? Let's start breaking some football stuff down here. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Go.
So they're in like an edge set, single back, right? Edge set to the left with the tight end, with, you know, Superman tight end, and they got a slot. They got two receivers to the right side. They run essentially like a flood concept to the left. A corner route over the top, a quick out with Superman tight end. And then that slot on the right side runs like a drag, like a deep drag route. So they essentially flood that zone on the left-hand side. And it started out looking like a quarters, two safeties, pretty low but even. And then they rolled down that safety over the top of Superman tight end, rolled down to bracket inside and out there. Okay, so they had it covered completely on the left side where he started. Wide receiver comes across, free safety moves with quarterback's eyes and with the flood route going to that side, and he came back and he threw a ball to an open zone. Okay, now I'm going to say this, and I remember sitting in the meeting with Mike Martz when I was with Mike for a couple weeks before I was traded from Detroit. And his point, his absolute, like, number one point of emphasis is it doesn't matter if the wide receiver is open. If the coverage dictates that's where the ball goes, then that's where the ball goes. That coverage dictated that the ball go to the backside square in. Now, if you watch the wide receiver, as he makes his break at the top of the square in, corner is inside leverage. Got him sitting there, like got him walled off. And so what does he do? He converts the square in, and he starts to run a curl. If my wide receiver started to run a curl, a deep curl, and I was expecting him to run a square in, I would grab him by the face mask and I would kick him in the shins, because what he's done is he's completely hung me out to dry, which is what I believe happened. Now look, could he have set his feet? Could he have got his eyes over there a touch sooner? Sure. But that coverage dictated that's where the ball went. The wide receiver saw a corner hard inside leverage and he completely busted his route, which is why it made it look like Aller missed the ball 2 yards inside. He didn't. The right wide receiver went, he went, you know, Picasso and started like drawing stuff on the chalkboard up there. When if he would have just crossed face, if we just run right through the DB, best case scenario, catches the ball. Worst case scenario, he gets pass interference.
It's funny, I'm watching it now, and I can't find the all-22. I'm just watching the TV version, so it's tough to see, but mm-hmm. it does appear that the receiver either stops or...
Mm-hmm. There's a version at the very end. You can kind of see it from the back, from the end zone cut, as it just flashes over and the DB dives and makes the pick, where you see the wide receiver essentially coming downhill, and then he adjusts and goes to the side. The wide receiver hung him out. Now, that does not excuse him playing like a turd sandwich for the rest of the game, right? But they were in a position to win that game, and Drew Aller does not single-handedly own that loss.
Yeah, he said he was trying – they asked him about it, of course, after the game, and he said, I was trying to throw it at his feet.
He was trying to dirt it to where, like, if he doesn't catch it, no one catches it. But he did, and he also got hit as he was throwing it, and he did not get to set his feet.
And if he – if his wide receiver would have run the square in instead of the deep curl –
it's at his feet.
It would have been at his feet.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it was at the Notre Dame guy's feet. He had to go down and meet the diving play.
Exactly. And so what happens now in you know, all the rules of college, all of football have been changed for the benefit of the offense, right? What happens when there's contact down the field? Wide receiver's trying to get to his spot. There's contact with the DB, ball's in the air. What immediate 9 times out of 10, what happens? Yellow flag. Hanky on the field, pass interference, we're moving. Like, that was in my mind, that was a cardinal sin by that wide receiver.
That's the first time I've heard that, and you're right. Like, I kind of want to go back now and see if I can find a better view of it, because you're right. When you're watching the broadcast view, all you really see is the ball 2 yards in front of the guy, and the Notre Dame guy makes a great play on it, but... with the way you're breaking that down, I'm interested to I'm kind of picking up what you're laying down.
And you can see from the end zone shot, you can see the safety starting the quarters look. The strong side safety comes down to bracket Superman tight end. Backside safety rolls into a single look and then floods hard to where his eyes are going to the flooded side of the formation, and it leaves a massive window back there. Now, you asked the question about Drew Aller, and I had to start there just to, you know, protect him. He didn't play well. And it's interesting to see somebody like Drew Aller, who really has been. I remember watching, was it last year, 2 years ago, where he was supposed to be this absolute superstar coming in, the next coming. And for me, it's never quite clicked, right? And then you look at a guy, and sure, you know, right now he's with Ohio State, but you look at a guy like Will Howard, right? Kansas State, you know, working man's program, plays really well, just chugs along, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I guess I'm a pretty dang good quarterback and can win a few ball games. Like, there's a difference. I don't know. And we can debate this in circles. I would almost rather have a guy that's just really steady versus a guy who could potentially be a superstar.
Yeah,
that was the whole point we were making earlier. It was like, I wonder if his backup was in, would it actually have been better? Again, you don't have the upside, but you also don't have the mistakes. Let me ask you this as a quarterback. So I'm sitting there watching that going, I didn't really feel like Penn State helped their quarterback much. In other words, they know he's struggling. We can all see him. He's off. I don't know if it's the moment or it's just one of those days. What can a coach or an offensive coordinator do to help a quarterback who is playing like that? Because it didn't seem to me that they did a very good job of that.
That's fair. You know, there are a few things that they can do. You know, calling some quick screens,
right.
Calling some ways to get the ball out of his hands into the hands of the wide receivers quickly. Now, obviously, defense is going to be, if you're not hitting the ball on the field, they're going to be up in your face mask. And Penn State's offense runs through their tight end and their running back. So, I mean, it's a different set. I've been in that place where, you know, whether it's against Oregon State my senior year, where, like, you know, I literally go into the Heisman Trophy, you know, ceremony the following week. And that week, I mean, I couldn't hit the blind side of a barn. I mean, I think I threw for like 104 yards in an interception or something. I mean, it was ugly. Or how about this? Okay, here's a quick story time. We're in Buffalo. I'm with the Dolphins. And I think this is the only time, I could be wrong, that I actually had a 0.0 passing rating.
Oh, dear. Yikes.
it was foul. Like, it was one of those days. And I'm walking off the field. You know, we'd gone 3 and out for the, 17th time. And Saban comes over to Jason Garrett. And as I'm walking to the sideline, he looks at Garrett And he says, "What the hell's wrong with him?" And he looks at me and he goes, "What the hell's wrong with you? What are you like? Are you sick? Are you hurt? Are you what the hell is wrong with you?" I was like, I don't know. Like, I just suck today. Is he just sucked? Like, what the hell is fix him?" And he just walks away. And I was like, sometimes you just suck. Fix and him. You could be the best player in the in the world, and sometimes you just suck.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, well, let's pause and come back and talk more quarterbacking with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here, next on The Fan.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington here. Seggy 2 on a Football Friday. We were discussing Drew Aller and just having bad games. Did you ever have a game as a quarterback where you did feel like that? It's not your day, you're not playing well, but you got it together? Or is that a situation where it's like, man, I don't have it today?
When it's not there, it's not there.
I could probably list 5 games in college where I got it together, and I could probably list 11 games in the NFL where I just I couldn't get it together. Like, that's, nobody's going to be perfect, right? Nobody's like, you see these guys that go out and, put up massive numbers. And those are the games that everybody remembers, right? But the real, like, the great ones are the ones who can take that day where it's like, we're not quite feeling good, or like, oh man, like this is going sideways, and turn it into something that isn't catastrophic. Right? I mean, there were plenty of games, and part of it was, just a different style of, different generation in college football and a different style of offense. But there were plenty of games where I threw for 173 yards and, a touchdown, right? Where I didn't it just wasn't flowing that day, but I did enough, or I should say I didn't do enough. I didn't make the mistakes, right? It was 173 and a touchdown, but no picks, right? It was not forcing that ball on third and long and instead punting and relying on your defense. Like, there are situations that you learn. And maybe that's what Drew, should have done yesterday, is just, understand the situation. But yeah, I mean, God, there were for every, 300, for every Fiesta Bowl or for every, Arizona State, there were 2 games, like I played against Fresno, or, like that's just kind of the world that quarterbacks live in. But people don't remember the mediocre games. People remember the big ones, and they remember the catastrophic games. So if you can keep keep a game from becoming catastrophic, then yeah, that's the way to go.
Well, and it's hard to, I'm assuming, for a coach, because, like, I remember Will Howard against Michigan clearly didn't have it, and then Ohio State runs the most conservative offense in the world and doesn't really give them an opportunity to do anything, and it comes back and bites you in the ass. Penn State does this quite a bit when Aller doesn't have it going, and again, they get pretty conservative. And I go back to that 3rd-and-2 call. Yeah, not at the end of the game when they're going in to potentially win it. It's 3rd-and-2. Notre Dame has 9 guys in the box, and they basically just it's a quarterback run because they don't have faith in Aller to put the ball in the air or get him to a better spot. So I'm assuming that's kind of a tricky position when you're a coach of, my quarterback doesn't have it, I don't have the utmost faith, but, sometimes you can't just sit there and be so conservative, because that can end up killing you too.
Well, that's the thing that people don't realize is they sit on a couch and watch a game as if it's a black and white decision, as if it's this vacuum where it's like good and bad, it works, it doesn't work. Like, there are so many variables that go into this. Maybe your right tackle's struggling. Maybe, you know, maybe your quarterback isn't recognizing the shift in the safeties. You know, is it two safeties? Is it one? Are they shading it until the snap of the ball? And he can't tell whether it should be in a run or a pass, right? Like maybe the running back isn't picking up the fourth guy off the weak side, and so you don't trust that you can push the ball down the field. You know, it's like there are so many variables where, whether it's reporters or whether it's, you know, sports talk radio guys on Friday afternoons, you know, who sit in their studio can say, God, he should have done this. But you truly don't know all of the things that go into it, you know, when it comes to calling plays or making a decision about what you think is best in that situation.
Yeah, it's always tough. That's why I always try to say, I'm not in the huddle. I'm not in the play call. I don't know who's responsible for it. So, because even when you see something, you know, unfold, it can be difficult because I can look at a line protection and be like, I don't know what they had called there. Or, you know, you look at a safety that gets burned and you're like, well, I'm not exactly sure what that call was. It's like we all love the backup quarterback, but you're not there in practice. You know, maybe the backup quarterback truly is awful. And the coach is like, there's no way I can put him out there. But we see an offensive struggling. And so we're always calling for the backup because we don't get to see that stuff.
Man, I'm literally watching a sack right now. And you think you hear offensive line or you hear Will Howard was sacked. What do you immediately think?
Yeah, O-line got beat.
Exactly. I was like, oh man, the left guard just got beat right there. Well, what happened? Safety screwed with Will Howard, thought he was going, you know, into center field, undercut the curl route. He held on to it for another second, took another hitch, and he hitched right into the guy who was wrapping around the left guard. Like, that's not his fault. Like, there are so many variables that go into play calling, that go into, you know, decision making about whether or not a guy should be on the field, shouldn't be. Like you said, like we're not at practice. Maybe Drew Aller's backup. Sure, maybe he's really conservative and really solid, or maybe he just sucks. Maybe he's not ready. You know, how long did we sit there and say Ty Thompson is going to be the guy? Ty Thompson should get in. We want to see Ty Thompson, right? Well, there's something there that we didn't see every day that the coaches do. So it's. We can sit here and say, what should they do? How do you dig yourself out? It's a completely different conversation to have on a Friday afternoon than it is on a, well, I guess they don't play on Saturdays right now. They're playing on a Friday, as I just say that, or a Sunday, right? So when you've got 75,000 people, you got the lights on, you got national television. Like that's a completely different situation.
Can't even imagine what that's like. But yet, as a fan, I sit there and yell at my TV just the same. Come on, you
should have done this. You're so dumb,
idiot. That guy's terrible.
I say this all the time. The worst feeling in the world, and I've been a part of this so many times, is when you're watching film and the coach turns to you and says, what the hell were you doing there? And you watching the film can't come up with an answer because you're watching yourself. You're like, I don't know. I don't want to be doing that either. And you don't have a good answer. That is the most humiliating and humbling and crappy feeling. Oh,
that's literally what I was talking about a second ago as I was walking off the field with Saban. And he looks at me and says, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I don't know. I'm trying not to suck, but I don't have a good answer for you. Like, right now, it's just bad.
Yeah. And be like, why? I remember being like, Sug, why did you slide the protection that way? And they're like, there's no one to slide to. And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, what did you see? I saw something. But when you watch the film, you're like, it's not there. It's like, I'm like, I don't know. Sorry.
Why don't you get out of your coach's box and come down here, strap a pot on, and tell me what you see, dummy?
Oh, my God. Good stuff. Good little quarterback chat today.
Yeah.
It's hard being a quarterback.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to sit here and watch Ohio State have a penalty or two. It's hard to sit here and watch them drop a ball. It's hard to sit here and watch them make little mistakes that don't give them a 34-0 lead and think.
They do not.
It's true.
They don't
look the same.
Anything like the one we saw the last 2 weeks. And yes, Texas is a good team, but Ohio State has had the ball 5 times, 1 touchdown, and 4 drives that have all been killed by Ohio State penalties.
Yeah. It's dumb.
Do you have a rooting interest? Are you rooting for Texas?
No. No, God, no.
You're rooting for Ohio State?
One, I don't like Texas. I don't like anything like about this, like that's just like a general like statement about the state. Two, I would like to see Ohio State win it, just, you know, for the whole they beat Oregon kind of thing.
Yeah. All right.
Someone tweeted, Ohio State's doing a great job of stopping both offenses. And I kind of...
They certainly
that's
are.
That's a great tweet.
Yep. Oh, Quinn Ewers looks terrible. That guy sucks.
Someone said Arch was already warm.
Terrible.
Put in Arch. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your rosemary anchovy butter tonight.
It's rosemary anchovy olive oil.
Oh, olive oil.
Get it straight. Okay.
Got it.
Get it straight.
All right.
I'm going to go back to the kitchen. Bye.
Bye. That's Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX, the future of building. Be here. All right. Coming up next, news of the wienery.
Come again?
That's right.
All right.
The wienery news on the fam.